This podcast replay is brought to you by AccidentLawFirm.com. For truck, motorcycle, and rideshare accidents, call Bobby Nunez, 305-444-4407. AccidentLawFirm.com.
It is time now for the Hialeah Park Sports Investment Segment. We do it every Thursday. We bring on a handicapper so we can talk about the biggest games going on over the weekend. And obviously the AFC and NFC championship games are on. And we want to get into that, talk a little bit about what's going on. You want to get an edge on that. Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports is always kind enough to join us now on the show. And let's talk a little action here. Let's see if we got Lee. Follow him on Twitter, by the way, at Paramount Sports, and go to the website, ParamountSports.com. Lee, are you there?
I'm here.
It's a beautiful thing, my man. So what'd you think? Did it all work out the way you thought it would over the weekend with the divisional games?
Anyone who tells you that they had Baltimore losing is lying. So I think some people thought there might be a close game there, but the score and the way it happened was absolutely, almost mind-boggling. So sometimes it happens, the team's off for that week and they come back, and it wasn't just Lamar Jackson. I mean, that team was flat, and Tennessee brought it. And then the other two games, the Houston to be leading 24-0, and I have the other side. I'm thinking, okay, well, that's a loss. But they came back there. So,
Bill O'Brien should be fired. I mean,
he did say afterwards he thought he needed 50 points, but under no circumstances leading 24-7 on your own 31-yard line do you ever try a fake punt. Just out of the question. If you're at midfield, maybe your opponent's 38, 40, 42 yard line. Okay, I can get it. You're being aggressive, but not in that situation at all. And that changed. As soon as they pulled it within 10, you just sensed that Houston was done. You could just watch their body language. So how he's not fired yet is the $64,000 question.
Yeah, to me, that's the part that just was absolutely baffling. Clemson, LSU, how did you make out on that one?
Good. So I was 3-2 overall in the NFL, and was lucky, obviously, to win the Green Bay game. It comes down to that two-point conversion. If you have four games, you're always going to have one game that's decided by one play. So that went our way. And then I had LSU the whole way. I had actually played it at 3.5, and I was doubting myself. I got to be honest. That Monday, everyone is picking Clemson. Everyone's got Clemson also on the money line. They're sprinkling it half and half pretty much. And I'm saying, wow, maybe I'm just reading this wrong, because I do use a lot of stats and analytics, but my eye test told me that this LSU team was special. I thought that Joe Burrow, who had not had a bad game, was not going to have a bad game here. And that was the case. But, when they're down 17-7, I'm thinking they're in trouble. I mean, how often does Clemson give up a 17-7 lead and lose by more than a touchdown? I can't remember the last time. So LSU came through, and you saw that Joe Burrow and his receivers, which are incredible. The Clemson receivers did have trouble late in the season getting a lot of separation. And then those DBs for LSU, I think, were underrated. I think I wouldn't say they were bored, but let's just say they rose to the occasion against Clemson.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm with you there. And by the way, you want to follow Lee, go to on Twitter at Paramount Sports and go to the website, Paramount Sports. All right, Lee, let's start it off here. Let's go NFC first. We've got San Francisco, at least the line I've got right now. They're favored by 7.5. The over and under is at 46. I've seen a little 46.5, and I've seen some 45.5, but you tell me.
I think the total's tough. I think they got the total pretty dead on. So not going to take the total. I said when I was breaking down the Green Bay and Seattle game, these were pretty much 2-9-7 teams. These were not great teams. And you see, normally a good team like San Francisco, they would have put away that Seattle team if they had that kind of lead. And they were not able to do it. And Green Bay, and I just think that this team is improved a lot since last year. They improved, I think, like 6.5 games from the year before in their regular season record. But they're going to have a tough time. I mean, this San Francisco defense is something special. Everyone talks about, yeah, quarterback is the most important thing. But the second most important thing I look at is defensive line. And Green Bay's got a couple nice, you know, edge rushers. But this San Francisco defensive line in front seven with Bosa, Rick Armstead, DeForest Buckner, Dee Ford, who's recently back outside linebacker defensive end. Then there are also other outside linebacker, Quan Alexander. I just think that they're special. They control the game. Look at the first game. I mean, they were up at 23-0 in that game on the way to that 37-8 win. That was arguably Aaron Rodgers' worst game. So Garoppolo only needed 14 completion and 20 attempts in that game to amass 253 yards. I think this is the year of the tight end. I think when we look back, we're going to say the reason that San Francisco and the reason that Kansas City made it is you just can't stop this tight end. And I mean, look at last year. No one could stop Gronk. You can't stop these guys that are 6'5", 6'6", and can run like the wind. And you can't – a safety isn't fast enough and big enough. And the cornerbacks or whoever, linebacker, aren't fast enough. So I just think that just too much. I mean, just think that they throw to that tight end. They control the line of scrimmage with their offensive line. Give me San Francisco. I think they win this game something like 27-17, something like that.
All right. You got San Francisco minus 7.5. I'm with you. I like San Francisco in this game. I think Green Bay is going to have trouble protecting Aaron Rodgers in this one. I really do.
They did get a lot of guys back, their linemen, but you can tell if you watch them, they're not 100%. And Seattle just had absolutely no pass rush at all.
Yeah. No, I'm with you there. Kansas City is favored by 7.5 over Tennessee. The over and under, I've seen it at 53 or 52.5. You tell me.
So my first, you know, you're looking at what you saw last week and you're thinking, okay, Tennessee can probably hang here. Do you remember a good portion of the first game when they played each other?
Yeah, I think
remember
so.
Remember that game?
Yeah, I think
okay.
So
a lot of people will say, okay, well, Tennessee won the game 35-32. But if you remember correctly, what happened was Kansas City is up in that game, and they're putting the nail in the coffin. Looks like they're going to go up 8 points in that game. They're up, and what happens? They get a field goal blocked, and they ended up going the other way, scoring the next drive, and Kansas City could have taken the game to overtime, and that field goal was blocked again also. I think it was actually that. I think the snap hit the holder in the helmet, but Kansas City was the better team. Now, what we saw in the game is Tennessee, if you look at the stats, they ran for 225 yards. A lot of people bring that up, but Kansas City threw for 433, ran for 97. You don't see too many times when a team goes for almost 550 yards. They were the better team. They just didn't win the game. So sometimes you have an inside-out result. Now, they ran for 225. I mean, Henry ran for 181. He's the best running back. I just don't think they're going to be playing with the lead, which they're 15-1 when tied or leading at halftime, including 9-1 this year. I just don't see it. I don't see them leading this game. If they got to come from behind, I just don't think that they're going to be able to stop a team with just so many weapons. Travis Kelce, just like George Kittle for San Francisco, is special, unguardable. Tariq Hill, unguardable. Their third and fourth guys, weapons at the receiver, Mecole Hardman and Sammy Watkins would be probably number twos on those teams. So Tennessee also has some problems. Field goal kicking, just 8 for 18. I think Kansas City is the right side. They pull away late, 35-21.
Yeah, me too. And I think that if they do take that lead, then that's where I think Vrabel has done a masterful job of controlling the clock, controlling the possessions. But if you're now going to put the ball in Ryan's hands, which he doesn't do, he doesn't have Ryan throw 30-something, 40-something times.
No.
He has him controlled. That's where I think they get in trouble. And I hate to say it because I know everybody knows I pick on him all the time, but that's where he's going to get exposed, unfortunately.
Here's why he's been successful.
By the way, he's lived a charmed season this year. Charmed.
But the reason they've been successful is they have the best running back in the NFL now by far.
Yeah.
I mean, Here's a guy 6'2.5", 245, runs a 4.5 40. It's like trying to stop a freight train. Right. And to give them credit, their first-year offensive coordinator has taken the input of Ryan and his receivers and his tight ends and tried to implement what they do best. So give them credit, whereas just trying to fit a round peg into a square hole, they have tried to make it work where everyone's featured doing their best things. And that's why what they have done has been impressive. And their defense is like playing at another level right now. It seems like the last couple of games, like they've known the plays before they started. So I'm not insinuating that there's a cheating scandal going on in football, but it's almost scary how good their scouting has been and their game plans for some of these offenses. Whereas last week, I'm also going to give you another play. Last week, everyone played two team. I had so many friends and I tried to talk them out of it. They played Tennessee. They played a two team 6-point or 7-point teaser, figuring, hey, Tennessee's going to win the game. Kansas City's going to win the game. Both 10-point favorites and 9.5, 10 points. And what happens? One of them loses outright. During the NFL season, Big O, we've seen this. You'll have three or four games, 10-point favorites, larger. People play these three team 10-point teasers, and one of them loses, and that's why the public doesn't win. It's a teaser. They're trying to tease you. So everyone did that last week and got buried. I do think, though, that San Francisco and Kansas City are significantly better, and Kansas City learned their lesson. They will not get out to a slow start. I like a two-team 6-point or two-team 7-point teaser here. I think both those two teams are going to win the game. So all you got to do is win the game. So I'm going to do three equal wagers on both of them on the point spread, Kansas City, and also
San Francisco,
but also a two-team 6-point teaser because I think both are going to win the game.
Wow. All right. There you go. And Lee, if they want to get a little insight on these games, and of course, you know the baseball games that don't have cheating scandals, you can help them with that. How do they find out more?
Yeah, so we're on an incredible run right now in basketball, 19-4 run. So finding some totals that are off by 10, 20 points. We're playing the Big 12. I mean, in basketball, these teams weren't scoring for a while. Now they've started adjusting. So we're finding we know what these teams do in conference play. 19-4 run. You want to get involved for the rest of football or basketball, just go to ParamountSports.com or call us here at the office, 800-400-9741.
There you go. Lee Sterling, follow them on Twitter at Paramount Sports and on the website, ParamountSports.com. Lee, thank you as always. You're a stud, my brother. Appreciate
it. Okay, thanks, Big O. Have a good day.
You got it. There you go. The Hialeah Park Sports Investment Segment with Lee Sterling this week. I like it. I like it. I like it. I like it. It's a beautiful thing. There you go. Nothing wrong with that. So he likes San Francisco. He likes the two favorites. 7.5. Carlos Beltran, breaking news, is out as Mets manager due to his involvement in Astros sign-stealing scandal. According to Jeff Passan, I am reading this as it's coming across my wire here. And again, you need to go after these players, man. You got to do it. He's the third manager to lose his job from this fallout. I got no problem with it. But please go after the players. Okay? Please go after the players. You got to go after the players. You cannot allow this to happen again. You know? It's insulting, actually, to see this kind of stuff happen. It's a shame. Because you're stealing somebody's dream. And you're not earning it the right way, which, you know, it's kind of dirty. I like earning what I got. I'm kind of, you know, kind of proud of that kind of stuff. I kind of like being my own man. And, you know, it's just, I've been like that for my whole radio career. I never want to be somebody's sidekick. I'm not an athlete that they handed me everything. None of that stuff, man. I'd rather earn my keep and work my way up and know that I won something and earned it. You know what I mean? And you didn't earn that championship at all.
Well, obviously, my Yankees being involved and kind of robbed on both ends. But honestly, man, the Dodgers, the amount they had invested. I mean, obviously I feel personal, but I can't imagine where the Dodgers are.
Now, how about Yu Darvish? His kid was in tears that during the series. And, you know, it's like I know the opposing players don't give a rat's ass, but look what you did to the family members. And you were cheating. You didn't earn that championship. You cheated your way to that championship. And in my eyes, it's going to be a stained championship. I don't know about you.
Look, the Red Sox one is worse. They go to the media room, man, and start checking out film. Literally. I mean, what would possess you? What possesses you to step here, man?
Because you want to get any advantage and you don't care. And you don't care.
You know, it's at the expense of the integrity of the game.
Right.
You're a scumbag.
Yep, exactly.
You're a piece of sorry.
Yeah, no, I get you. I think everybody understands where you're going.
And I mean, look, I loved Alex Cora. And supposedly a lot of people in baseball like him. He's a nice guy, whatever. But this, man, I hope that he never lives this down.
Oh, no, he won't.
Ever.
None of these guys will ever live it down.
No TV. No, you get no gimme.
Even the guys that won the championship now, the people are going to tell me, yeah, you guys cheated with that one. You guys didn't deserve that. And so every Red Sox player now with that championship, you know, we're going to look at it and say, nah, you didn't deserve it. You know?
And the Astros have such a loaded team, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Literally, just stacked.
NFL DFS Payback says, who else is excited about those 14 picks? Can't wait for the draft and free agency. Big things coming for Miami. We all are, baby. What else do we have here? Ty says, Big O, would you trade down with either Oakland or Jacksonville, get 12-19 from the Raiders, and 9 and 20 from the Jags, take Love or either 9 or 12, and then take two offensive tackles with the 18th and 19th or 18th and 20th picks? I mean, Ty, I don't know what's happening. I don't know what we're trading away in the fifth pick. I don't know what player is there yet. I got to know exactly what's going on before it's too fantasy-like right now. I don't have all the players that have declared. I'm not there during the draft at that moment knowing what's available on the board. You know, I don't know yet. I don't know yet. I'm not that quick to trade down yet when I know that at 5 I might be getting an incredible difference maker for the offensive line or the D-line, or maybe you want to take the quarterback there. You never know.
Well, here, in that philosophy, because I am kind of about let's trade that 5 down and take a 1 for next year and a 1 this year and a whatever.
Yeah, but you guys are all playing fantasy football.
Right.
Who the hell says they want to trade with you? Who's giving you that? For what player? What scenario is this? It's just a bunch of waste of time that you guys come up with this crap.
Nah,
You've been bothering me with this for 48 hours, and now Ty comes up with this, and fans come up with this all the freaking time. But there's no substance behind it because we don't know what players are available. We don't know what players we're trading for. We don't know who got injured or arrested from now till the draft. You guys are asking about way too many things, and it's just a game, and it's a waste of time. You're chasing your tail around because you're talking about something you know nothing about, because there's no substance to anything you guys are asking. You don't know who's available at 5. You don't know who's available at 18 or 20. You don't know anything about this draft right now. The process is not done. Interviews are not done. Dirt has not been all unearthed. You got to know the facts. We don't know all the facts. That's why I don't entertain this stuff, because I don't have enough facts. And then all I'm doing is spewing crap out there. That's it. I'm not convinced Jordan Love, like you are, Ty, I'm not convinced yet of Jordan Love that early in the first round. I got to see him next week. I like him. I've seen him on television, but I got to watch him closely. Last year, the talk was Baker. What did I say? I'm not buying it. It's not a guy. I'm looking at his arm, the deep ball. The ball kind of dies out. I don't know about this. Not a great athlete. I'm not sure about this one. And so far, I look terrible the first year, and I look pretty good the second year. I didn't think he was a number one overall. I said, nah, late first round, second round type guy. I don't know if I would take him early in the first, especially number one overall, and they did. But that's because I saw him at the Senior Bowl, and I watched him, and I said, man, Josh Allen's never convinced me. Since I watched him at the Senior Bowl, no, still doesn't convince me. So, let's see. Myron says, Roger is nothing but a puppet for the owners. You are correct. John Legend, thank you. That's the one I was thinking of, Legend. Instead of London, that's right. I said London, right? Legend, John Legend, thank you. Sage, it got me there. Thank you, Sage. I appreciate you looking out for me, man. Let's see. Dougie Fresh says, T-Rex, the slider, double album is really good. Hey, T-Rex is really good. Really good doesn't get you in the Hall of Fame. If you're T-Rex, are you equivalent to The Who? Are you equivalent to Deep Purple? Are you equivalent to Led Zeppelin? Are you equivalent to Madonna? Are you equivalent, you know what I'm saying? Are you equivalent to Quincy Jones? You know, that's Hall of Fame, dude. T-Rex is not Hall of Fame. It's just not. You know, Ed Kaplan told me something years ago growing up in this business. Told me this almost 30 years ago. Because it was about, I'd say, 27. It's probably my second or third year in the business because I was at 940 wins at that time. And Ed goes to me when we were talking about athletes. He goes, when I'm talking Hall of Fame, if I have to think about it, you're not a Hall of Famer. So if you have to think, if I tell you T-Rex and you got to think about it, it's not. Personally for me, I didn't even have to think about it. I was laughing the second I read T-Rex. I love T-Rex. You're not a Hall of Fame band. I love Romeo Void. You want to make them a Hall of Fame band? Seriously. I don't know. I could argue that the one hit that Romeo Void had, I mean, the one with the one with the girl song, it was kind of a hit, but it wasn't a big hit for them. But Never Say Never, I could argue, was a bigger hit than maybe even what T-Rex had.
I might like you better if we slept together.
Yes.
Dude, that is such a great line.
It's an awesome line. And the beat to that song. Oh,
the beginning, kunk, 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 with the guitar.
Look, T-Rex had hits across the pond. Several at the UK. That doesn't matter here, bro. It's not the UK Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Okay? Keane is huge over there. Not here. I love Biffy Clyro. They are big in Europe. Nobody knows them here. It's the way it is. So I will go with the Ed Kaplan line. If you got to think about it, not a Hall of Famer. When I tell you Van Halen, you go, shit, Hall of Fame. You don't even think about it. Right? I tell you Michael Jackson, rapist. I mean, Hall of Famer. You know, it's just the way it is.
Prince.
There you go. You don't even think about it.
No brainer.
There's like no thought
When Eric Clapton says he's probably the best guitarist in the world, that should tell you
right
there.
When you say Eric Clapton, no brainer.
Yeah.
Hall of Famer. Let me explain something to you guys. T-Rex can't sniff Kraftwerk's Jock. Okay? That's all you need to know right there. Kraftwerk is the grandfather, the godfather of electronic music. T-Rex is not a godfather of anything. They're not great at anything. They're not great at nothing, dude. There's nothing that they bring to the table. And I love them. They're not Hall of Fame. I love the Fix. They have more hits than T-Rex in this country. By far, never get into the Hall of Fame. One of my favorite bands of all time. Never get in the Hall. In my eyes, they're actually Hall worthy, but they'll never get in the Hall. And I understand.
I was looking
but hits,
at it.
Hits-wise, Fix crushes them.
Depeche made it.
Yeah, they made it. Yes.
But obviously, a 9-inch. I mean, there were some
I got no problem.
But that one stands out.
Right.
Like
you watered it down. You watered it down.
We're good. We're good. We're good. Wow, we fell off here. What happened?
Yeah. No, and you're
and you left Judas Priest, Pat
Motorhead,
Benatar.
Come on.
Come
on, dude. Kraftwerk. Come on.
Kraftwerk. I get it.
I get it. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You know nothing about metal, so you crap on it. And you probably don't know about Kraftwerk either, so you crap on it also. Right? It's just Kraftwerk is, they're the Beatles of electronic music, dude. They're Elvis Presley of electronic music. They're Aretha Franklin of R&B. That's what they are. They're on a Mount Rushmore. When you talk about the ultimate bands that influenced other bands, Kraftwerk is right up with all those other bands. Because anybody and everybody that's playing electronic music, you go back to those guys. Early 70s, creating instruments. It's crazy. Raging Dolphin Maniac, love T-Rex, but there isn't large enough body of work to be a Hall of Famer. That's exactly it. Myron says, finally, he's out. Beltran, cheater, well-deserved. Oh, man. Baseball is, it's a sport that's dying as it is. And now let's help put it even more into the ground with this cheating scandal. We don't watch the game. Now we won't trust it at all.
Let's take a break for a second.
Yes, let's do that.
And get Tony on the phone.
All right, we were at the East-West Shrine Game this week. Tony Pauline from the ProFootballNetwork.com website was also there. So we'll get Tony on. We'll get his thoughts. I gave you my thoughts earlier on what happened at the East-West Shrine Game. Let's talk with Mr. Tony Pauline next.